Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia. This is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about the most important question of all. How can a sinful man or woman be in a right relationship with Holy God, the creator of the universe? And of course, this is the essence of the gospel to answer that question. Well, when people talk about the elements of the gospel, sometimes it's broken into four parts. And each of those parts is profoundly theological. And so over the next few weeks, I would like us on our program to consider the parts of the gospel, the theological parts, and then on Integrated as we try to apply those to our lives. So the four parts of the gospel outline that is often given are God. Sometimes it's in the form of questions, you know, who is God? And then sin, or what separates us from this holy God. Jesus, you know, God's solution to the problem of how can a sinful person be in a right relationship with God. It's through faith in Christ and what he has accomplished on the cross and the resurrection. And then response. That's the fourth part. So today, let's talk about God. Number one. And when we think about this first component of the gospel, what is it that we need to know about God? What's so special about God? Well, I think it was Francis Schaeffer who, in his ministry in Le Brie in Switzerland in the 60s and 70s, when people would come from all over Europe and even all over the world to that place to spend time with Francis and Edith and the staff there, to answer life's big questions, I think Francis Schaeffer said, you know, we can't assume things that we used to. We used to be able to perhaps assume that people realize that God is the creator and that God is holy. But people have all kinds of ideas about who God is. And so Schaeffer said, we need to start in Genesis. That's where our gospel presentation needs to begin, not necessarily in the book of Romans, as good as that is. Paul takes us back to creation as well, doesn't he, in the beginning of Romans. But for our purposes today, just to consider what we want to know about God theologically as the first component of the gospel, let's begin with creation. Of course, you could go to Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And see God creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. God speaks the word, and out of nothing, something comes into existence. And of course, man is made in God's very image. How wonderful is that on day 6? But I think I would just want to point out that the rest of the Bible assumes this. This isn't just something that, well, Genesis 1 and 2 is kind of take it or leave it. Whether or not God is the creator, that doesn't really matter. But the rest of the Bible thinks that it does matter and thinks that it's just a given, of course. So when Moses is bringing down the Ten Commandments and you get to commandment number 4 in Exodus chapter 20, and he's, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And he gives a reason, because in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and he rested on the seventh. It was just a given. And you can even see other passages in the Bible where different authors of scripture throughout the Bible just kind of tuck it right in. It's not even that controversial. you know, Psalm 33, verse 9, for he spoke, talking about the Lord, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm. Later in the Psalms, Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all the deeps. I just want to say how casually the authors of Scripture include little references to God as the Creator. An example is Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, the Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. It's just kind of a given. Yes, of course God made everything. That's just a fact. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 5, thus says God, the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and what comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it and spirit to those who walk in it. Okay, this is a mighty, majestic God. What about the New Testament? The Lord Jesus, when he was called upon to give answers for his views of divorce and marriage, I just appreciate the fact that Jesus answers these Pharisees, these supposed Bible scholars, in Matthew 19, verse 4, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they were no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. This wasn't just a random belief that Jesus is accommodating. No, this is what the Word of God says, and he's talking to Bible scholars, so supposed scholars, right? The Pharisees, they knew a lot of facts about the Scripture, even though they didn't believe and understand that those things were pointing forward to Christ. But when Jesus answered their objection, he took them to Genesis, and he took them there as if this is true. What God says in Genesis 2:24 about the first marriage is true. Adam and Eve, that really happened. And what's the implication of this? The implication is God made everything, and therefore God is the owner of everything. God is the one who makes the rules. God is the majestic one who made it all. Think about a time that my brother and I were throwing the football. Now, my brother and I threw the football a lot growing up. I'm still waiting for that call from the directors of the Front Yard Football Hall of Fame that they may nominate us at some point for our heroic neighborhood victories that we accomplished. But one time, Jeff and I got to throw the football on our college stadium's field. Now, nobody was on that field. We just kind of went in. I don't think we climbed a fence or did anything like that. I think maybe the door was open. I'm not sure. I don't remember the details. I'm not trying to confess something. But we were on the field, and we were just doing our thing. We were just throwing the football, and, you know, how far can we throw it with these hash marks, and could we throw it all the way from the middle of the field to the end zone like we see them do on Saturdays and that sort of thing. But here we are, just doing our thing, acting like we owned it, dancing around, making our plays. And what if the administrators had come out and had seen us and say, what are you doing? This field does not belong to you. You are not supposed to be here at this time doing these things? Well, I think that there could be a case to be made, right? Because we were just out there. We were just doing our thing and having a good time. Like I said, acting like we owned the place. I think a lot of people are doing that in the world today. We're on God's world. We're on God's field, acting like we own the place. And God has definite opinions about right and wrong and what we ought to be doing in His good earth. Well, we are considering today God, but not just God in general, but God as the first component of the good news. If you want to share with somebody how they can be in a right relationship with God, here's where it starts. It's not just about the person having a happier or more fulfilled life. It's about being in a right relationship with God. And so far, we've considered the fact that God is the creator of all things. Now, after our break, we want to come back and consider another element of God that we need to be mindful of as we share the gospel.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. And hey, if I can be honest with you for a second, this whole holy God owns everything truth that he's been talking about, it's actually terrifying. But you know what else is terrifying? Not knowing how to share these deep theological truths with others in a way that makes sense. And that's exactly why I want to recommend Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison. This resource is something that will flip your world upside down. I promise you it will. Dr. Pallison takes the time to sit down and show us how to take the weighty truths of Scripture and apply them to our life, just like Dr. Kratz does every week. Pick up Seeing with New Eyes by David Pallison, available now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And speaking of seeing things with new eyes, have you checked out the Fortis Plus app just yet? This one, it's free, and not like the free that other people tell you, like really, really free, to where you get hundreds of hours of audio and video content, 7 new posts every single day. And did I mention it's free? But listen, also, if you really want to stay in the loop with all things Fortis, I want you to become a Fortis Insider as well. That's where you get an email 5 days a week with all of the video or podcast content that we have released for that very day. You're going to be the first in the know about everything Fortis if you are a Fortis Insider. So sign up right now at fortisinstitute.org, which is also free. We're really into this whole free thing, if you haven't noticed. And if I can be frank with you for just a second, okay, maybe not frank, I'll still be Jimmy, but listen, we're in a brave new world, and that demands a brave new response. And that's exactly why we've transformed from Gospel Partners Media into Fortis Institute and brought in 8 theologically sound voices right alongside of Todd. This is literally the biggest initiative we've ever undertaken in the history of our ministry. You hear us talk about it frequently. We really cannot do this alone. We need you. When you become an ongoing monthly gospel partner right alongside of us, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're joining a movement that will equip local churches to stand strong in our increasingly crazy culture. Think about it. You can help us continue to produce solid biblical content that is changing lives. So would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner today? Head over to fortisinstitute.org right now if you have questions, because we have answers to all of those questions. fortisinstitute.org. And remember, we're not just asking for your support. We're inviting you to join us in becoming a part of something bigger than ourselves. And now let's get back to Dr. John Kratz as he continues to discuss our holy God. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It's more than being a knower of the truth. It has to be knowing and doing.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. In this episode of Integrated, we have been considering the first component of the good news, the gospel, and that is God. And in our first segment, we looked at God as the creator. He owns it all. He made it all, and it is just a given throughout the scripture. This is the fundamental assumption. Well, there's another element of God's character that needs to be front and center as we think about the gospel for ourselves and we think about sharing it with other people. And that is the fact that God is holy. We see God's holiness on display as Isaiah got a front row front row seat to see God's character on display in Isaiah chapter 6. Beginning in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Those would be special angels that had the special role of declaring God's holiness. All right, verse 3 of Isaiah 6. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow, what an amazing passage. As God's holiness is cried out, you know, back and forth between these angels that have never sinned one time, and yet even they need to cover their faces before such a glorious being as God. What does it mean that he's holy? He's absolutely pure. He has never sinned. There's no darkness in him at all, it says in the New Testament. God is light. And so that's amazing. He is other than us. He is separated from us. He is perfectly pure. Wow. Peter got a glimpse of that in the New Testament when Jesus called him in Luke chapter 5. And that was the story where these seasoned fishermen had gone out. They had tried to fish all night and had caught nothing. And when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. Well, Simon didn't want to do that. He's been working hard all night, caught nothing. But out of deference to Jesus, he did it. And of course, if you know the story in Luke chapter 5, as soon as they did this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. They had to get help to come and get all of these fish in. Well, what was Peter's response? In Luke chapter 5, verse 8, but when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Wow, he knew. He knew. This is big. This is huge. I've been fishing this lake my whole life, and this is my job. This is what I do. And you don't just throw your nets down in the deep waters and there's so many fish in there that your nets start to break, that you need help. This is holy God. This is a very big deal. And did you notice that Isaiah, when he was in the presence of the majesty of God in that temple vision of Jesus in his glory, actually, the New Testament tells us, Isaiah's first response is, Woe is me, for I am undone. You say, well, he's the prophet. You know, he's already a good guy in Israel. But when you see God's holiness, all you can see is your sin. And that was Peter's response to the Lord Jesus doing that miracle of the fish as well. What is it? How should we respond to this? When you think about God's character, again, our purposes now are to kind of unpack the theology of the gospel, but also we want to apply it. We can't just be content with mental facts about God. We need to appreciate it. We need to see how a right view of God affects our lives. Now, there's countless ways that it does, but for our purposes now, let's just think about this sense of awe. When you think of God, is he just part of the background? Is he just the answer to the Sunday school question? Or are you in awe of God? Do you have a sense of worship? Do you have a sense of the need to worship such a God? I mean, you are right now in the presence of this one who made everything and who is absolutely holy. That ought to move you. If it doesn't move you, then there's something wrong with you. That's rebellious not to be moved by just the magnificent glory of God as revealed in Scripture. So we should have this sense of awe. We should have this sense of worship. And we should have a sense of obligation. You remember I told the story of playing on the football field in the college stadium. It wasn't my field. I acted like I owned it, but I was on someone else's field. And in the same way, you are on someone else's earth. You act like you own it. You act like this is all about you and your happiness. But when we start where the gospel ought to begin, where the message of the Bible begins, we realize that we are in God's very presence. I've mentioned my brother a few times. He's the pastor of Anchorage Grace Church in Anchorage, Alaska, and it's been a joy to get to visit him over the years that he's been serving there. And Anchorage is a special place. I mean, it is, you know, it's an American city, and that's fine. And some people make the jokes that one of the best things about Anchorage is how close it is to Alaska, because even though it is in Alaska, of course, but 15 minutes away from town and you feel like you are in National Geographic. And if the weather's just right, you can look from the city limits of Anchorage and see Denali, the largest mountain in North America. And there it is. And you go, that's incredible. I can see it from Anchorage. Well, how far is it from Anchorage? Well, if you get in your car, you're going to drive about 4 hours to get to Denali Park and get an up-close view of this incredible mountain. I teased my brother that, you know, he's lived there now over 15 years, and these views, which are epic to us who visit, are just part of the background of his everyday life. I wonder if you have treated the majesty of God as if it is just the background of everyday life. It is vital to live our lives in light of God. The gospel begins here. The story of you being in a right relationship with God doesn't exactly begin with you. It begins with God. How can we be right with such a holy God? And we've said we're going to see and look more carefully at the other components of the gospel, but obviously our sin is separating from it. And because of the person and work of Jesus, you can turn away from your sin. You must turn away from your sin and believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Over the next few weeks, we want to consider the other components of the gospel. We've seen God. We want to see our situation, our sin. We want to see Jesus, and we want to see the right response of repentance and faith. Let's not just learn the truth. Let's do what James tells us to do, to be doers of the word. As you want to do this truth about God's character, stop and worship. Consciously, intentionally, live your life today in light of the majesty of the Creator, the Holy One, God Himself.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.